This is the Business Storytelling Show with Christoph Trapp. Name a top 20 storytelling podcast and a top 5% podcast globally, Christoph chats with thought leaders and experts to share tips and tricks that can help you tell your company's stories better to drive business results. Available wherever you listen to podcasts, live streamed on major social media channels, and part of the DB&A television network, available on most U.S. television sets and streaming on Roku and Amazon Fire. Here's Christoph with today's episode. Let's go.
Let's go, business storytellers. Hey, how's everyone doing? Today, we want to talk about those big ideas. I know we all have them. How do we move them forward? And here's my biggest question. When I think about moving forward, I think it's my way or the highway. I got the best idea. We're going to implement this idea. I don't want your ideas. No, I don't think that's the point of what we're going to talk about today. But I just thought about that earlier. So let's dive into the topic. We're going to talk to Tamsin Webster, and she wrote Find Your Red Thread. I did read this book, did leave an Amazon review video, I think. If you are not connected with me on Amazon, make sure you connect authenticstorytelling.net/live. That's my Amazon storefront. The book is on there. All the videos are on there. And hope to connect with you there as well. Let's get Tamsin on the show and find out what kind of ideas she's going to try to push forward today. Haha. Tamsin, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it. Now, I'm always interested. I'm a big ideas guy. If that sounds pompous, if you say it like that, but I love ideas. I love, evolving ideas, moving them forward, trying different things. So tell me about what prompted you writing this book and why are ideas so important?
Well, we don't do anything without ideas. And what prompted me to write the book was the fact that I see people not so much struggle to come up with ideas. I think we have lots of people who have great ideas. There's something that breaks between having the idea and talking about the idea. In other words, in getting it out of our heads and into other people's. And that was a problem I wanted to solve. And the book was the result.
That's awesome to hear. And of course, in your book, you talk about really a process and how do you do it. And I was kind of being a little snarky there at the beginning. You're not talking in the book about just pushing forward your idea, right? I mean, you're still a fan of evolving ideas, working together, but articulating your idea, I guess.
Yeah, so it's for me, at least personally, and the clients that I like to work with, it isn't just ideas at any cost. My one-on-one clients I describe as being people who serve ideas bigger than themselves. And the book is really written for people like that. It's written for people who serve ideas bigger than they are. That said, the approach works, even if it's just your latest widget or that kind of thing, because I think we all struggle with the inherent tension in how to get other people to see the same power in our ideas that we do.
And what's interesting about that comment as well, I think I've quoted him a couple times in recent shows here, is Mark Schaefer. He wrote about the why. People need to stop talking about your why. Nobody cares about your why. They care about the other person's. They care about their own why, right? How are you going to help me solve my problem? And I think in your book, you talk about that too. And you hinted at it here a little bit, is what is the other person's problem? How do you work with them? How do you help them see the solution? So how do you do that? It sounds
well.
So
I mean, my approach. I completely agree with all of that. I think that I also think there's a little bit too much attention paid on our why, kind of pushing that out there, and we do need to spend a little bit more time on our audience's why and why they might be interested. But even then, we fall into this trap of looking at it from the perspective of, well, why we think they should be interested. And so the central idea of the book is that the only real way for someone to find your idea irresistible is for them to have a story that they can tell themselves and that they would tell themselves about why your idea is the right one for them. And so the book is about how to build not your story or your case for your idea. It's about how to build your audience's case from their perspective, not again, what you think they should want, but based on what they already want and what they already believe, why your idea would make sense to them.
So how do you figure out where that fine line is though, right? So for example, I've had plenty of ideas over the years, and sometimes they're horrible ideas. Sometimes they're crappy ideas. Sometimes I'm just not using the correct language, right? Mm. Because I don't use the right word, or people can't figure out what I'm talking about. I mean, even this show, we run on the DBNA television network, and people have asked the DBN television network, what the heck is business storytelling, you know? And once you explain it to them, they get it. And it's just a, you know, fancier way of saying marketing, really, or a different way or a different type, quite frankly. But how do we find that sweet spot? Because I assume, speaking for myself, if I'm pitching an idea I don't really care about, but the audience really cares about, at some point I'm going to get tired of it.
Well, who's going to get tired of it? You're going to get tired of it, or the audience is going to get tired of it?
The audience wouldn't, but I might.
Well, that's why I come back to, you know, how big is this idea to you? How important is it to you? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, not all ideas require the level of work that this approach takes. I mean, if this isn't high stakes for you, then there's no reason to spend all this time. I mean, there's plenty of things where people hear enough of your own, like you, the idea creator's reasons for loving that idea, that they're like, oh, okay, sure, fine. But when it's something that you really want someone to truly be transformed by, or you are looking for just more of a sustained action, a sustained change in thinking or behavior, that's where you are always going to be working against people's rationalizations and justifications for their own behavior. And if you don't have a better rationalization for them, a better explanation for their behavior that includes your idea, then they're not going to do it. So yeah, you may get bored with how you talk about it. In those situations, I recommend that you need to find new and interesting things about your audience that keeps you engage or reconnect to why you feel the idea is so important. But fundamentally, if the idea is important enough and the stakes are high enough, then I have found that that's generally enough motivation to keep you working to make sure that the audience stays connected and hears what they need to hear, not just what you want to say about your idea.
Yeah, very true. Now, I do want to hear about the story behind what's a red thread. How did you come up with that? But before you jump into that, I want to mention this quickly. Now, I've written 4 books as well. And one, the formatting is just, it's not where it could be, quite frankly. And I want to share this with you. Tamsin's book, I just love how it's laid out, right? You can look at a graphic, you got a headline, and then you got lots of bullet points. And, you know, you can skim it and still learn something. So I just want to mention that here, because every once in a while, I got people telling me that long paragraphs are the way to go, and they're not. Look at this, super easy to learn. So always appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, it's a danger if you're gonna write a book about a messaging framework. I am of the opinion that you should use that messaging framework when you are writing your book. And so thank you for noticing that. But yeah, I build a red thread for every chapter. I expose the red thread of every chapter. I expose the red thread of the book so that with exactly that intent in mind, that sometimes you don't need the deep information, or you just need to go back and refresh. And rather than have people wade through to decide whether or not they want the information, I was like, well, let's just put the recipe up front. They can read the blog post later, essentially.
Well, and just because it's more words doesn't mean it's more in depth anyways. I mean, we hear John Mueller say that all the time on Twitter. You know, Google does not look at your word count. They look at the in-depth and the content, which certainly the longer it is, the more chances there are that you're in-depth. But, you know, you pack a lot of stuff in just a few paragraphs. So I do appreciate that. So tell me about the term red thread. Like, what does that mean?
So there's many, many red threads. So it's a great question, because there's a red thread in just about every major religion and philosophy of some sort or another. The inspiration for it originally came from there's an idiom that people in Sweden and other Northern European countries use. And they use it to describe kind of the main idea of something, the thing that makes it make sense. And so they'll say to you, if you're talking to them, oh, what's the red thread of this? Meaning, okay, what's the idea? Why should I keep listening? And so from that alone, that was like, well, that's what I'm developing here as a way to help people find that main idea, that thing that makes things make sense. But the approach itself is also inspired by what gives that idiom its name. And while there are some different camps, right, there's one camp that thinks that it's related to what's known as the rogue's yarn, which is how the British Royal Navy used to identify its rope. They would wind a red thread through it so that you could always know it belonged to them. Generally, most people think that the idiom expression, the red thread, comes from Greek mythology, and more specifically from the thread that the Greek hero Theseus was given by Ariadne, his lover, though for not very long, he abandoned her. That wasn't very nice. But she gave it to him as a tool to help him navigate the labyrinth, the maze that the Minotaur, the monster, was in. So Theseus needed to trace his steps to the Minotaur so he could retrace his steps on the way out. And the red thread was the way that he did that.
Interesting. So it kind of, I'm visualizing is like, you know, if I'm creating a story, how do I kind of move my way through things? I mean, that's very helpful. What's interesting to me, I mean, I don't want to tell everybody how old I am, but I'm older maybe than I look, I don't know, with the bald head now. But, you know, back in the day in journalism, people always seem to fight anything by formula. You know, why do I have to write stuff in a box? Why does blah, 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 you know, like I'm being creative. But that aside, journalism is kind of writing by formula too, because it's reverse pyramid a lot of times. Yep. But anyway, so, or inverted pyramid, I guess. I've been out of journalism for a while. But anyway,
it's an inverted, yeah.
You know, yeah. But
great idea. Get more and more detailed the deeper you go. You got it.
Right? Inverted pyramid. So, but the thing is, like what you're describing, it is kind of a formula, right? Like this is how you follow. Yeah. Yep. What you're creating. And I'm actually a big fan of formulas now because they help you weigh whatever you're creating, you know, against, does it make sense? Does it fit? Do I need to put that in here? I mean, is that how people are in, should, is this how they should use it, or how should they use your framework?
I mean, that's how I think of it. I think of it as a framework, as a place to start it so that you don't end up with a blank page. I hate the blank page. I know some people love the blank page. For me, it's threatening and awful. And so I always wanted a framework to help me understand just kind of where was a place to start. And when I started working on the red thread, and I came to understand through my research that we as humans need certain kinds of information in order for things to make sense. Well, it didn't seem like a big leap to say, okay, well, if humans need certain information in order for things to make sense, why not start my planning for content, an idea, or whatever I might be doing with those pieces of information? So if I can just list out those things, and oh, by the way, if there's an order that helps them make even more sense, then why not start there? But I think of it in a lot of ways, you know, when it comes to that potential critique of like, well, isn't it formulaic? Isn't it limiting? Well, no, because the five elements that I suggest that you find in your idea, the five elements that create the red thread, are the five elements that are present in any story ever told. And so if you think about the incredible vast difference in how stories can be told based on those same five elements, then you can see that it ends up not being a limiting thing at all. In fact, it's a constraint that helps free your thinking and really helps bring a lot of clarity to not only what your idea is, but also how you're thinking about it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, I, you know, even think about this show. So when we talk about what goes on DBNA, right? Like, people sometimes say, well, how much stuff is there to talk about when it comes to storytelling? And I say, well, watch the last 40 episodes. Have we had any repeat topics? Yeah. No, we haven't, right? And that's because my formula is, this is roughly what we're talking about. And then we find a different topic around that core topic, right? So it's not exactly a formula, but then we walk through whatever you want to talk about, whatever fits, right? And then sometimes if we go way too far off the topic, we come back to the topic, because why does anybody care about that if it's not related right. to what we typically talk about? Now, when you talk about the red thread, though, is it, now I jump to writing because I spend most of my days writing, believe it or not. I know people see me on the live streams, but that is indeed what I do most of the day. Is it just writing? Is it talking? Is it like, where do people use it? Give us some examples.
Yes to all of that. It really is any time that you need to communicate to others about your idea. So it arose originally to help me do my work with TEDx speakers for TEDx Cambridge. So while that was a spoken medium, it had to get written down first. But I use, and my clients use, the red thread to plan presentations, workshops, conversations, pitches, presentations, web copy, ads, about us, home site, home pages, just everything. Anytime that you need to make sure that somebody understands, agrees with, and ultimately acts on your idea, that's a time when you need a red thread, because people need a red thread in order for your idea to make sense to them.
And how do people become better or good or maybe great at some point at all these different channels, right? I mean, sometimes, I'm pretty good at talking on air. I don't know. Some people like it. Some people don't. People seem to come back and watch the show. So maybe I'm not doing horrible. Some people read my stuff. How do we figure out what types of communication to focus on, and how do we learn those different types?
Well, I spent 25 years in brand and message strategy, and spent time as a CMO and all marketing directors, and what I found was that I don't love figuring out the aspects of channel. I think that fundamentally where you should be and the forms of content that make the most sense for you are the ones that you are most comfortable producing, because those are the ones that you are going to put the effort and the energy in. I think any of us can think about, like, if there's, let's say there's a particular social platform or there's a particular type of content creation that you don't love, it either brings so much of a chore that you just don't even do it, or that it's so stressful to you that you put it off. So I don't see the point in doing that. I say, make sure that you're at a basic proficiency level for writing and speaking, because you need that as a human and to communicate. But when it comes to focusing on channels, go with the ones that you actually enjoy doing the work in. So I actually far prefer to do video than I do writing. I just don't always have the chance to get everything set up to do it. And that's where the framework, the red thread, is helpful, because I think no matter what format, no matter what channel you're using, if you can understand, again, those basic elements that have to be in it, what aspects of your idea, what pieces of information need to be in what you say, no matter what format or what channel it is, you're going to be better than you were if you didn't have those elements, because the audience is going to understand and engage with you better because they're hearing the things that they need to hear in order to understand and really internalize your idea.
So talk about goals a little bit. How do you come up with goals, and how do you know what to go after?
What kind of goals? The goals I talk about in the red thread, or just kind of goals as it comes to something else?
Goals in the red thread. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the goal is where the red thread starts. So if a red thread is that story that someone tell themselves to make your idea make sense, the very first piece that's important is why they would listen. So something that invites and invokes their curiosity, something that helps to establish your intent in talking to them about this idea. And so I like to call that the goal, because it's the audience's goal. It is something that they're trying to achieve for themselves, or it's a problem they're trying to solve, or it's a need that they need to meet. And I find that the best way to find that is to think of it in terms of a question. What question is your audience actively asking themselves right now, for which they don't have an answer or need a better one, and that your idea provides that answer? So it's really coming back to, like, what is a question that the audience is asking either of their colleagues or of Google, but it's something that they're trying to solve for themselves. And they know they're trying to solve it. And so I think that's a really important place to start your planning, whether it's for content or messaging or even to come up with a new idea. Because by definition, someone is going to be interested in a question for which they want an answer, but don't yet have it.
Interesting. And so we, I can't tell while we can't see who sent this. LinkedIn user, you're doing well, Christoph. And this came at a perfect time because right before I asked my last question, Tamsin, my cat jumped on my desk, spilled my water all over the place. So this is live, real life TV here. Unbelievable, right? The stuff that happens.
So I do appreciate it.
But I do appreciate you guys watching. We'll have to check it out on LinkedIn later who actually said that. All right. So I know you talk about your big idea, your irresistible idea, but how do I know that I even have one of those? You know what I mean? Like I have ideas all the time. And sometimes I think this is the best thing since sliced bread. Sometimes I think, yeah, I don't know. But how do I know? Like, how do we even know that it deserves this red thread storyline?
Well, the first way is whether or not you care about it. I think that's important for all the reasons we said about before. Getting your idea out in the world and getting people to understand it, to act on it, takes a lot of work. So if you're not excited about it, why would your audience be? So that's, to me, always the first piece. The second piece is that's another place that I found that the red thread approach can be useful. Because, you know, one of the ways I describe it is if you can build a red thread for your idea, then you know that you have an idea that's strong enough to build on. If you aren't able to answer questions like what question does it answer for the audience? How does your idea represent a perspective different than what's out there? What is the belief that it's based on that your audience would agree makes your approach just inevitable, like, you know, inarguable? If you can't fill in those blanks, then it's probably not ready to go yet. And that's work I often see. So sometimes people will, you know, some of the work that I do for clients is to look at their current, you know, content or talks or whatever they might be working on. And I use the red thread as a diagnosis. Like a lot of times, like if something isn't working, it's because one of those key elements is missing.
Yeah, interesting. I was just kind of thumbing through the book here again. I mean, it's just, there's so much stuff in there and you can really just skim through it and still learn a lot. So if you're never really enthusiastic about an idea, I guess you can never push it forward, or how do you, I mean,
I'm sure you could. I mean, it's I don't choose to.
Maybe I'm just too jaded here, right? No, my current day job, it's fantastic. So anybody's going to take this out of context, don't add me. But in corporate America, a lot of people, it's really, really hard to get, you know, get excited about an idea. You have an idea and somebody shuts you down and somebody shuts you down again and somebody makes it difficult again. I mean, it's very easy to just give up, right? Like, how can this help me not to give up and kind of keep pushing it forward, or can it?
Well, to me, it's like a puzzle. I love puzzles. So me, it's a puzzle. And I've always been somebody who, when it comes to the equation of communication, and I think sometimes we forget that it isn't just what we're trying to say about our ideas. It's what people need to hear. That when... Mm-hmm. You know, I've always looked at it from that perspective. And so what that has always told me is that for some reason, like if I have been trying to communicate something, if there's been a failure in the communication, the first place I'm going to go back is I'm going to look at what I can do to strengthen how I spoke about it. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, if something didn't work, is because I didn't fully take in the other person's perspective into account. I fell back into that, understandable starting point of like, well, let me tell you why I think this is the right idea, rather than saying, hey, I know where you're coming from right now. And I bet you have these concerns about it. But since you believe X, and I know you care about Y, this is why this might work for you. So for me, it's continually a puzzle. It's like, okay, if that didn't work, why didn't it work? How do I go back and make it and make it more effective? And to me, that's how I, if I believe in the idea, then I'm going to be willing to put that kind of work in it.
Interesting. So of course, in, one part of your book here, you talk about the truth, build the story of change people will tell themselves. And of course, that is part of the reason why some salespeople always have to get on the phone with you before they can sell you anything, because they try to figure out what you think your problem is, right? Because it's much easier to sell to me if you think what my problem is. But how do you figure this out? How do you know what people tell themselves?
Well, that's what the whole book is really about. I mean, you're not going to know for sure. You're making your best guess, or you can do some research to get there. But I spent a lot of time doing sales message work, and I want to make it very clear that this is not about, this is not a way to open up a conversation and pepper with somebody with questions about like what's keeping you up at night, because you should know what's keeping them up at night. You should know what problems they're trying to solve for themselves. That is that goal question I was talking about. You know, your job when it comes to being an effective marketing or salesperson is to find the problem that they actually have to solve before they can solve that problem. Like that's a really key element that to figuring that piece out. How are you going to know? Well, there is some work that you've got to do to not only understand your audience, but also to understand the market. But if you haven't done that work to say, okay, I understand how most people go about solving this, and this is how we do, or this is what our perspective is, and here's why that's different. That goes back to your earlier question of how do you know you've got an idea or a strong enough one to put out there? I would argue that if you don't have that clarity, then it isn't ready to go. It's not ready for prime time, because you won't be, if you don't know what those elements are in your idea, there's no way you're going to be able to communicate them to somebody else. And yet they need to hear those elements in your idea in order for it to make sense to them. So and it might mean that you start to fill those in and go, actually, yeah, if I look at this, this isn't actually different than what's already out there. There is a better solution based on what's already out there. Well, then that gives you an opportunity to redirect your efforts elsewhere, or to find an audience that's a better fit, because sometimes that's it too. You were just trying to sell the right thing to the wrong people. And in a lot of ways that this approach is designed to help you understand that, because if you have built, based on your understanding of the audience that you want to serve, a case that by and large would, should, or does work based on other folks, let's say your ideal client that you already have and you can test it against that, and it doesn't work with, let's say, your next prospect, then a lot of ways that can be a great way to qualify that lead and say, oh, you're not solving that problem, or oh, that isn't how you're looking at it right now, or you don't agree with this fundamental thing that our approach is based on. Well, okay, then this is not for you, and it's never going to be for you. So that's barely been a hidden benefit that a lot of my clients have seen with this approach, that it helps them be a lot clearer on who they're for and who they're not, and to make sure that the case is built that way to support that.
Absolutely. Tamsin, it was great to talk with you. Everybody check out her book, Find Your Red Thread, available on Amazon. Really appreciate you making the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review our show on your favorite podcast channels. And don't forget to share this episode with your networks. We appreciate you. Until next time, let the best stories win.